I've ordered up more subdued lighting in the bunker today, ladies and gentlemen. A little darker hue because it suits my mood. And I don't know why I say that, really, because I have great news for you today concerning all the residents out here in Sao Paulo, or above us, you know, on the ground, above the ground, above the bunker. And it's this, that's even though they're today locked up in stubbornness, even though Satan is deluding the majority of them, because, ladies and gentlemen, it's a Catholic city, it's a Catholic country. So instead of being illuminated by the glory of God, they're deluded by the wiles of the adversary. And the light of the glory of Christ does not shine upon their hearts, and they're not illuminated. Rather, their innocent hearts have been deluded, and they're going to Mass, going through the ritual, standing and sitting and repeating prayers like this, and they don't even understand what they're doing because they're because of the ignorance that is in them. And that ignorance is, again, by satanic oppression. And God knows all this because they have not been chosen from before the disruption of the world to be conformed to the image of His Son. Is it their fault? No. Are they doomed forever? No, they're not. They're simply not a part of the coming eons. They do not have aeonian life. Now, they may stand, they will stand at the great white throne later to be judged, and according to their acts, they may be allowed entrance into the fifth eon. However, body of Christ membership out, part of Israel during the kingdom out. They're spiritual zombies. But the good news is that God is the Savior of all humanity, especially of believers. That's 1 Timothy 4:10. God's the Savior of all humanity, especially of believers. All humanity is going to come to Him in the end because He's the Savior of all humanity. But He's especially the Savior of believers. That is, those to whom He gives belief. Romans 12:3, they come into the glory that God will receive for the eons of the eons. Let's talk about Hebrew chronology, shall we? Because it's a remarkable fact that Hebrew chronology is made up of four epochs. There are four epochs in Israel's history. I tell you this for a reason, that we're going to see that each of these epochs consists of 490 years. It's remarkable. 490 years is a 490, the number, is a great number. God loves this number. 70 times 7, 7 is the number of perfection. And add a zero to it, and poof, you've blown the roof off the thing. Multiplied it by 10. It's fantastic. Now, let's start with this period we're looking forward to, the millennium, the glorious advent of our Lord and Savior. From that time, going backward now to the edict from Artaxerxes to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem was 490 years. You say, Martin, come on. More than 490 years has transpired between that edict and now. Exactly. But God does not mark time while Israel is in apostasy. And Israel has been in a long apostasy that began in Acts chapter 28, verse 28. And we're going to see that this is not a new way of reckoning time. It's an old way of reckoning time. God has done this before, and we're going to see this with the four epochs of Israel's history. Now, from the dedication of the Temple of Solomon to the edict to restore the temple under Nehemiah by Artaxerxes was also 490 years. And from the sprinkling of the blood of the doorposts in Egypt to the dedication of Solomon's temple is 490 years. And then from the birth of Abraham to the Exodus is also 490 years. Four 490-year period. So it's not just the time pronounced by the messenger Gabriel to Daniel that there would be 490 years from the decree to rebuild Jerusalem to the coming of Messiah, but also these other three preceding periods are 490 years. We didn't get that from Gabriel. We have to look at it for ourselves. Okay, now let's look at them in sequential order. We're going to see that God's method of dealing with time is that He does not count time while His people are in apostasy. From the birth of Abraham to the Exodus, the first epoch of Israel's history, is 505 years. Well, Martin, that's not 490 exactly, because there were 15 years when Ishmael was counted for the son. You remember, God produced an Ishmael before Isaac, and there was 15 years, so you subtract that from the 505, and you get 490, because God does not mark time when the nation is retrogressing, when they're backward, clock stops. Standard procedure. This is not a new thing. Don't criticize me or those who say that there's been this intervening time period until the last seven is accomplished, because this is how God always does it. From the Exodus, departure from Egypt, to the dedication of Solomon's temple is 601 years. But there was a total of 111 years that you will read about in the book of Judges, in which Israel is under servitude. In other words, they're serving foreign powers because they're disobedient boys and girls. They're serving other gods. God hands them over to servitudes, not as sweeping as the Babylonian or the Assyrian. Sorry about that power stoppage, folks. Ugh, God does, Satan doesn't like this enterprise, believe you me. So he hands them over to servitudes in the book of Judges. And I'm going to prove this to you. Go to Judges chapter 3, and you'll notice that in verse 7, the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot their Lord, their God, and served the Baals. Oh God, not the Baals. And the Asheroth. Bad Israelites. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, so that he sold them into the hands of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. Cushan-Rishathaim. I've heard of naming people crazy stuff, but this guy. Anyway, the sons of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. That's Judges 3, verse 7. So there's an 8-year servitude that is taken out of the elapsed time from the dedication of the temple, of Solomon's temple, to the word fares forth to rebuild Jerusalem. Now, that's not all. They have another period where they're in captivity, or should I say, in servitude to other nations. Verse 12. Now, the sons of Israel did evil again. But in between the Cushan guy and this other evil, they had a time period where they had a good judge, and they were delivered out of Cushan-Rishathaim's hand, and they had rest for 40 years. That's what verse 11 says. They had rest for 40 years. Good times. But verse 12, they did evil again in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel. Here's a real ugly guy, Eglon. Sounds like you're choking on your scrambled eggs. What are you going to name our son? You know, the father's eating breakfast, and the mother says, "What shall we name our little boy?" Let's name him Eglon. And she writes it down as she hears it, and it comes out Eglon, choking on his eggs. And that's how it came to be then. King of Moab. And they are handed over to him, and the sons of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. That's verse 13. So you have 8, then you have 18, and then they have a good times for a while. There's 80 years, I believe, of peace after this. Yes, you'll find that in verse 30 of chapter 3. But then you have bad times again, and you go to chapter 4, and they're handed over again. And they're oppressed severely, this time by Jabin, king of Canaan. This happens for 20 years. Go look up all this stuff on your own. It's fascinating. What you're going to find is that there's a total of 111 years in the book of Judges, which leaves, subtract that from the 601 years from the dedication of Solomon's temple to the word to fare forth, from the Exodus to the dedication of Solomon's temple, sorry, 601 years, subtract 111, servitude, and you get 490. Now, from the dedication of the temple of Solomon to the word to return and build Jerusalem is actually elapsed time, 560 years. But obviously, you have to subtract the 70 years deportation in Babylon. So you subtract 70 from 560, and guess what you get? You get 490 years. Let's review. From the birth of Abraham to the Exodus, 505 years elapsed time. Subtract the 15 years Isaac is counted for the son. Wrong. You get 490 years. From the Exodus to the dedication of Solomon's temple, 601 years elapsed time. You got the judges in there, though, and they're good judges, and there are bad people, too. Israel is handed over to foreign powers, a total of 111 years. Subtract that from the 601, you have 490. Now, from the dedication of the temple to the faring forth of the word to return and build Jerusalem, 560 years elapsed time. Subtract 70 years in Babylon, 490 years. What this tells you is that God stops the clock when Israel is in apostasy. It's not a new way of doing business. So now, when we get to our time period, we see that this 490 years, go back to the original 490 year period, the clock stops after 69 sevens when Messiah is cut off. That makes sense, you see. And there's an inspired reason for that, is because Israel has to decide whether she's going to accept her Messiah. So Messiah is cut off. Clock stops at 400 and, what's 490 minus 7? 483 years. Clock stops. 7 years left. So, Israel what? Rejects her Messiah. And then in Acts chapter 28, the Apostle Paul formally and decisively stops the clock for the remainder of this eon, because Israel is now temporarily cast aside. Look at Romans chapter 11. Israel is now temporarily set aside. And that's a major clock stoppage. She's in major apostasy, has not recognized her Messiah, still hasn't to this day. So why would the last 7 years pick up when Israel still has not accepted her Messiah? The body of Christ today is the detainer. We are what is keeping the last 7 years from starting again, from the clock, God's clock starting again. When the body of Christ is taken away, then God will start the clock again, and the final 7 years, beginning with the dedication of the false temple in Jerusalem. Interesting that these time periods begin with the temple, the dedication of the temple. The man of lawlessness is going to enter into a pact with Israel. He's going to be head of a world organization, a confederacy of lawlessness, and Israel is going to once again build a temple in Jerusalem, and they're going to have free reign. This starts the clock again. And I tell you that the body of Christ is being called out during a time when Israel is on the back burner and God's clock is stopped. Don't look at me like I invented this. I did not invent it. I don't start and stop clocks. This is God's way of doing business. He's in a big, fat, glorious, hairy, predictable rut of stopping the clock of his epic epics. That's E-P-I-C and E-P-O-C-H. Stopping the clock during the time Israel is in apostasy. It's not new. I didn't invent it. It's an old way. And when the body of Christ is out of the picture, God is going to take up again with Israel. And finally, the last 7 years of Daniel's prophecy from Daniel chapter 9 will be fulfilled.